Ephesians chapter 1, 19 tonight. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 19. Verse 19 reads this way. It says, "And what is the exceeding greatness of his power to usward who believe, according to the working of his mighty power?" Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we come before your throne tonight. Lord, we ask your blessings on your word, that you would speak to our hearts and minds and help us to hear from you. Lord, that we might worship you in truth and spirit, that you would be exalted and our lives empowered to glorify your name. Bless your word tonight, Lord. Bless each one for being here, and bless Northwood Baptist Church. May it be found faithful, Lord, when you return, and we'll praise and thank you. For we ask all this in Jesus' name. Amen. The title of the message tonight, I have two of them, right? The first one is A Healthy Progression of Faith. What faith looks like when it's progressing. My contextual, in the context here, it says, to usward who believe. To usward who believe. That's what the Word of God tells us there in verse 19. So, tonight, as we look at this portion of Scripture, we want to consider an important question that it should be asked, really, every time we open up the Word of God. It's a good question to ask, and that is, to whom is the writer writing to? Who is the writer writing to? So tonight, we want to consider that Paul is the apostle who's writing the Word of God, moved by the Holy Spirit. He's writing specifically to the believers that are in the Lord Jesus Christ, because you can believe anything, right? But specifically, believers in the Lord Jesus Christ that are part of his church at Ephesus, and to all of the Lord's churches, world without end. Hold your place right here and look at chapter 3, verse 21. Unto him be glory in the what? In the church, by Christ Jesus, throughout all ages, world without end. That's God's plan. That's God's idea, and that's God's work. Throughout all ages, his church would be on planet Earth until he comes again. And then he's going to call his church, his bride, out of this world. And then the judgment is going to fall on the world that we call the tribulation period. So again, the title of the message tonight is A Healthy Progression of Faith, what it looks like. And then to us, word, who believe. So as we consider this, I want to ask you a couple of questions tonight, but let me just give you this idea. Tonight we're going to look at four steps to a healthy progression of faith. Four steps to a healthy progression of faith. The first step is sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise. That's the first step of a healthy progression of faith. Then the second step is a displayed faith. And then the third one is a revealed understanding of our faith. And then lastly, faith empowered. Faith empowered. So let's back up to verse 13. Let's see where it all begins. And here's what it says in verse 13. "In whom ye also trusted, after that ye heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also, after ye believed, ye were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise, which is the earnest of our inheritance until the redemption of the purchased possession unto the praise of his glory." So if you're saved, you've been indwelt and sealed by the Holy Spirit. So if you're saved, you've been indwelt and sealed with the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Amen? Is that true? Listen. Can anything happen in your life that you would deny that reality, that experience that you had with the Lord Jesus Christ? Isn't that good? Mm-hmm. Listen, it doesn't matter what man might say. We cannot deny that experience. It's the free pardon of sin. People explain it different ways. But the truth of the matter is, we had a personal experience with God. And that is, first of all, we realized our sin. It condemned us. We repented, we turned from that, and then we called upon the Savior, looked upon the Savior, and saw that we needed the Savior to cleanse us from our sins. And at that moment, we put our faith and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. He redeemed us, and there was some kind of an experience of that taking place. It's not a prayer. It's a revelation. It's an experience with God to one degree or another. Other people experience it a little bit differently. Some people cry. Some people shout, hallelujah, praise God, whatever it is. But there is an encounter with God, to say the very least. Is that not the case? All right. So that's the first part. And that is being sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise, is what the Bible says right here. Now, I do want to say this. The devil will move in and he will say, now, did that really happen? And he might say, well, now, if you were a Christian, you wouldn't do this or that. No, I am a Christian or a believer in Christ simply because of the righteousness of God, not mine. Amen. And that is what has given me the assurance. When the devil points out our sin, we say, that's why Jesus died for me. Now, that doesn't mean that we ought to walk defeated in sin. That's not the progression of faith. That's not the way God wants us to grow. But listen, we are not perfect beings on this side of eternity. We will never attain perfection on this side. We will fail, but we don't have to walk in a miserable state of failure like we did before we knew the Lord Jesus Christ. There ought to be a change that God brings into our life, not by our strength, but by His. That's important. This is the healthy part. And I do want to ask you a question, and we'll get to it towards the end. And that is, there's only really one thing that will keep us in a state of failure or in a state of not being delivered, and we'll see that here tonight. All right. So the first step to a healthy progression of faith is that we are sealed by that Holy Spirit of promise, is what the Bible tells us. In fact, look at verse 13. In whom ye also trusted. That's what we did, if that's anything. It is something, don't get me wrong. But as far as a work, we just simply said, yeah, Lord, what you did for me, that's what I'm putting my trust in. That ye heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also that ye believed, ye were sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise. And so this has happened to every believer, which is the earnest of our inheritance until the redemption of the purchased possession unto the praise of His glory. So we receive something that we could say there's no doubt about it. Amen? God has saved me, and I belong to Him now. Amen? Here's a good truth. And He belongs to me. Why? Because I'm in Him and He's in me. Isn't that something? And that's all by the grace of God. Okay, so that's the first step of a healthy progression. You have to be saved or forget about faith. There's a lot of people that say, well, you know, my parents were Christian. I kid you not. Heard this, all right? Why? What's your profession of faith? Well, my parents were Christians and I was about 5, 6, 7, 8 years old and I just thought it was my time to be a Christian. And so my parents went to church, so I just thought it was time to do the Christian thing. And so now I'm a Christian. I think I said a prayer. Wow. Really? Well, let me just tell you something. That's dangerous grounds to be in. When you never hear one word about my sins condemning me, And my need to repent, to turn from my sins to the righteousness of God. Listen, we're on dangerous grounds. I cannot tell you how many professions I hear, and you don't hear anything. Listen, anything, nothing about repentance, their sin, and repenting of their sins because of the righteousness of God. That's a scary place to be in. But anyway, that's what happens when we turn and trust the Lord. He indwells us with His Spirit. All right, now the next thing is a displayed faith. Look at verse 15. Wherefore I also, after I heard of your faith, did you hear that? The faith is displayed there. How is that displayed? In the Lord Jesus and love unto all the saints. There's concern, there's compassion. Listen, we care about the people of God. We want, why? Because Christ indwells them. I'll never forget this. There was a fella, and I didn't know him personally, but I knew him, and he preached the gospel, but he was a black belt in karate. And he, listen, he pastored a small church. And he was teaching his disciples. And I mean, when I say disciples, I'm talking about Christian disciples, all right? And then he was teaching them karate also. And then he was at this time, this is going back in the 80s, he was probably in his mid-30s. And he had some guys that were in their mid-30s and they, you know, pretty strong. And he said, boy, I got convicted because they were pretty powerful. And I had to really defend myself when we would spar. And the Holy Spirit, he said, just every time you hit them, do you know that I indwell them? And so when you hit them, guess who else you're hitting? And he said that pretty much stopped his sparring days with his students, because most of them were professors, but they professed to know the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, it's not, and he said, it's not that it's wrong. I just in good conscience couldn't do it. Oh, listen, what the church would be if we would guard what we say and what we do concerning other believers in the Lord Jesus Christ, that we would be careful in that area. So there's a displayed faith that the love that they had to the other saints there in verse 15. Then look at verse 16. Cease not to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayers. He says, boy, you know, when I saw that, I got excited. And then, I wanted to see that grow. I wanted to see your faith grow. I wanted to fan the flames of your faith, that it would be a brighter flame, that it would be a greater testimony and a testament to the cause of the Lord Jesus Christ. So, listen, if you're here and you're saved, what I just said to you made every sense. That other believers are indwelt with the Lord Jesus Christ just like you are, and we need to be careful about them and take care about them because they know the Lord as well. So because of that, because we're saved and because we have a displayed faith, and many of you have displayed, I would dare say everybody in this room has displayed faith, at least their faith towards me and my family to one degree or another. And that's a good thing. And I'm thankful for that. And I believe you've displayed that faith not only just to me, but to one another as well. So we're ready to move onward. How about you? You ready? All right, here we go. So the third part is a revealed understanding and enlightenment of our faith. So let's pick up in verse 17. Remember, now Paul is saying, I'm praying for you. I want you to grow. I heard of your faith because you trusted in the Lord Jesus Christ, and then you were displaying your faith by your love towards the other believers. And then now I'm praying for you. And by the way, even more important than the Apostle Paul, Jesus has prayed for us too. Not for these only, but for those also that will believe because of the word. All right, verse 17. What's the prayer? That the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you. So let's just stop here. How much work did we do concerning our salvation? Oh, nothing. Perfect. All right. And then really the things that we do toward other believers, it's an outpouring of what God has already given to us. All right. Now, I want you to see this now. How much of this is our work when he says in verse 17 that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you what? The spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him. He's wanting us to go further. He's wanting us to go and grow deeper. You know why? Listen, because God does not want us blown around by every wind of doctrine. He wants us to be sure that we're sure that we are in him. Amen. He wants us to have that assurance. I feel sorry for people that think, because it's a wrong belief, they can lose their salvation. Oh, I love Jesus. Nah, I don't know. My God's love is eternal, never stops. Listen, do you believe that tonight? The love of God for you? You don't ever have to worry about that. Why? Why? Is it something you did to make his love that way? No, you didn't have to do anything. Now listen, this is key. Because the same way that you have that assurance that nobody can shake, is the same way you can have more of the Lord Jesus Christ, and Christ can have more of you. He's already done it all. And we've got to come to this place to where we rest in Him, and it's not us trying to do something, and it's not us looking at our failure. If we're looking at our failure, we are looking at the wrong thing. Listen, if we are looking at our failures, can we possibly be looking to our Savior? We cannot. So guess what? Just like Peter, when he began to sink as he was walking on the water, you and I will sink also. All right, now watch this. So verse 17, "And the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you." Now, who's doing the giving and who's doing the receiving? Is God doing the giving? Are we giving anything in this, or are we just doing the receiving part? All right, now listen, don't lose me here. Listen, it's difficult to receive. Not because it's difficult, it's just because we are hardwired and bent in a certain direction in our thinking, and we've got to unplug that and allow the Lord to plug us in to His truth. All right, so keep this thought ready. "That the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation." Now, let me ask you this question. Who are we speaking to? Are they believers in the Lord Jesus Christ? Are they sealed with the Holy Spirit? And yet there's something that Paul wants them to receive that they have not received. Don't lose me here. There is something that Paul wants them to receive that he knows. Remember, Paul says, "I have learned in whatsoever state I am in." You know what that means? That means he had to learn it. That means he didn't have it at first. Does that make sense? If you've got to learn something, that means you got something you didn't have before. Now, this is important, and this is paramount. Because, and by the way, listen, a healthy progression of faith is always moving onward and upward in the Lord Jesus Christ until the day we see Him face to face. If you ever believe you've graduated, let me know and we'll throw you a ceremony and give you a diploma of graduating as a child of God. There's no such thing. There's no such thing. I just thought that was a little funny, but anyway. All right. So verse 17, let's follow this again. "That the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you," and these are believers, "the spirit of wisdom and revelation," specifically, notice, "in the knowledge of Him." Do you know everything there is to know about Him? We've got a lot of growing to do, don't we? Praise God. Listen, it will awe us. It will awe us every time. There's only one thing, and we'll see that here in just a moment, that will keep us from growing spiritually. You don't have to answer that out loud just yet, but I just want you, there's only one thing. By the way, it's the same thing that will keep somebody from trusting the Lord Jesus Christ in the first place. Now, as a saved child of God, you've done that first part already. But do not think just because you have eternal life in the Lord Jesus Christ that you cannot block yourself with the same thing that keeps people from being saved to keep you from growing and listen, being delivered in the Lord Jesus Christ. Because I want to remind you that the people at Ephesus were believers already, and Paul was saying, "I'm wanting you to receive something you don't have right now." All right, so watch this. Verse 17, "That the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of Him, the eyes of your understanding being enlightened." Does he want to give more? Does he want us to give us another aha moment? Listen, the first aha moment was salvation. And God is infinite. There is a whole lot more. That is just the beginning. So, he says, here's the revealed understanding. He says, "The eyes," verse 18, "the eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that ye may know what is the hope of His calling." He's called us to be like Christ, has He not? Listen, A person who just got saved can have the understanding of the free pardon of sin, but do they really understand deliverance and victory and the warfare in the spiritual realm? No. In fact, you know what we call them? In Christ, we call them spiritual what? Babes in Christ. They need the milk of the Word of God. They're not ready for the meat yet. They've just been born again. And if you were anything like me, the moment I came to life in the Lord Jesus Christ, I was ready to charge Hades with a squirt gun. What I mean by that is that's about as much knowledge as I had. And all I could do is tell people God is real. He saved me and he can save you too. And boy, oh boy, did I lose a lot of my, I didn't really lose a lot of my friends. But boy, they just thought, boy, he's gone nuts on us. Amen. You know what I wanted for them? The same thing God gave me. I just didn't know how to tell them. And then after I understood a little bit better how to tell people, I was able to better inform them of what God has given to me. But there was no denying that God saved me. I just didn't have the knowledge in the sense of how to explain it. But I surely did have the knowledge by the experience. So God is wanting to give us, listen, more experience of what he's already given to us. But we've got to be careful that we are not confounding the knowledge with our old nature. So here it is very quickly. Watch this. The eyes, verse 18, of your understanding being enlightened, that ye may know what is the hope of his calling, and what the riches of his glory of, listen, of whose inheritance? His inheritance in the saints. His inheritance in the saints, not ours. We are part of that. We are in that because we are his saints. But it's his inheritance. It's his work. Okay. Now, there's only one thing that will render this blessing and this promise that God wants for every believer null and void. And I said that was the same thing that keeps an individual lost from trusting the Lord Jesus Christ. Let's look at verse 19 again. And what is the exceeding greatness of his power to usward who what? Oh, who believe. But I'm a believer in Jesus Christ. Yeah, but let me ask you this. Are you a believer in the wisdom of God, in the revelation of God, in the understanding, in the enlightenment of God? Are you understanding the riches of God, the deliverance of God? I tell you, I know a lot of believers who are failing miserably. Why? Because of unbelief. Here's what they think. Ready? Well, bless God, I just keep trying and keep failing. Well, when you stop trying and ask God to do it for you, you might find something different. In fact, even better than that, it's already been done. When you can ask God to give you that revelation and walk in that truth, and I'm not saying, hear me clearly, I'm not saying sinless perfection. I'm saying experiencing God give you peace when you know you wouldn't have it. I'm saying God giving you kindness and gentleness when you yourself know you would not do that normally and you would glorify the Lord. Let me ask you a question. Have you ever experienced God do something for you and you say, that was the Lord. There's no doubt in my mind God did that. Huh? Just the same way when the fruit of God is being born in your life, you step back and you praise God because you know that's not you. Same way. Oh, bless God, don't ask God for patience. I've been guilty of saying that because that brings tribulation. Is God going to give you something that's bad for you? Is that what the Bible says? All bad things come from our Savior. All trials and difficulties that are horrible to experience is what, or does he say every good thing? Every good thing. You know what the trouble is? Right up here in our heads. We are hardwired in the natural realm. We have been engrafted into the Lord Jesus Christ, and we need to let him guide us. And see, here's the problem. Ready? Well, I know what I believe. Well, that's all well and good, but that's not going to give you what God knows. Because what you believe and what God knows, I dare say, are infinitely apart. And it will keep us in the dark and failing. So where do we want to go? He's speaking to believers. You ready to walk out on the water? Oh, I can't do that. Well, join the club. Nobody asked you to do it in your own strength. I will tell you that everything the fruit of the Spirit is, George Jancho is not. That is just so simple. Oh, listen, let's just be upfront and right and truthful with each other. Without Christ, we're not much. We like to think we are, but we're not much. So, to usward, who believe? That's the contextual title of the message, because it's not to usward who do not believe. And to usward who believe is that God is going to continue His work of salvation because these people here already are saved. Are they not? He's giving more information. Listen, ready? He's given meat to help the believers who are already saved. The truth is some can receive it and some cannot. Or maybe I should say will not, because they're hanging on to their thinking instead of to what God is saying. Read the book of Ephesians very slowly and very carefully, and you will see that it's nothing about you and I, and it's all about the power of God many times over. Many times over. So why are we trying to do things in our own power and wonder why we're failing? Listen, this message right here, this truth will irritate and maybe even anger believers in the Lord Jesus Christ. You know why? Because surely after all these years, they couldn't have gotten it wrong. Surely. Well, hey, listen. Every time we let it go and let God, there's always a blessing. Every time we let go of our thinking and take a look at what God is saying, salvation comes. I'm not talking about eternal life. I'm talking about our life counting for the Lord Jesus Christ. And us enjoying it. Oh, imagine that. Enjoying walking with the Lord. Didn't Jesus Christ say, "My joy I give unto you"? My peace? I dare say a lot of Christians don't have any of that. Oh, they know how to smile, brother, sister, at church. Oh, boy. But then they get out there and, it's just another story. It's another story. And that's not what God wants. So we have to be willing to be honest with the Lord when we're all by our lonesome. And say, "Okay, God, this is what you got. I know what I am. Show me who you are, God, in my life and who you want to be." Listen, if my Christianity is dependent upon me, it's not much. But if it's dependent upon the Lord Jesus Christ, it's life-changing. Can you be saved and look to yourself? Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. It happens. But God's come to set us free. The Word of God has come to set us free. Pride will keep us and unbelief will keep us. Pride to say, "Oh no, I've been saved this amount of years. It can't be any different than what you're telling me." Well, good news is I'm not telling you anything. The Word of God is. Now watch this. Ready? Verse 18. "The eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that ye may know what is the hope of his calling and what the riches of his glory, of his inheritance in the saints." Now verse 19. "And what is the exceeding greatness of his power?" This is what he wants us to know. to usward. Up until this point, listen, he's telling them something new. I want you to know, I am asking God to give you this revelation of his power. And notice how Paul does it. To usward. What does that mean? You're going to get the same thing I got. You're going to get the same experience that I'm getting. To usward as believers, what God intended. But wait a minute. Who believe? Unbelief will cut it short. If you say, oh, no, listen, I know me. Well, so does the Lord. And the truth of the matter is, so do every one of us. Because we all know ourselves. And without Christ, we're not much. But if we want to be much, praise God, as the song says, little is much when God is in it. And here's the truth. God is in every saved child of God. So whatever little you might think you are, you're a whole lot because you've got a great big God that can do anything. All right, very quickly, we need to finish up. And what is verse 19? The exceeding greatness of his power to usward who believe. Don't forget, if you forget everything else. Don't forget this. All of this exceeding greatness in verse 19 of his power to usward is only to usward who are willing to believe the word of God that it's his work. That's it. You could be a saved child of God and walk in unbelief concerning the work that God wants to do in you. You're a saved child of God. You will enter into eternal life because of the grace of God, but you will miss out on the work of God that he wants to do on this side of eternity, that you might be a praise to his name. There is no way God expects you and I to be a praise to his name in our own strength. Let me say that again. There is no way that God expects you and I to be a praise to his name in our strength. That's guaranteed, not success. That's guaranteed what? Failure. Why? How do we all know that? Because we all know ourselves. That's the truth. I'm not trying to make anybody feel bad. I'm just trying to get us to deal with the truth. We cannot do one thing for God's honor and glory without him. And didn't Jesus say that? John 15, without me you can do nothing. All right, let's move along. I know I keep saying that, but we got to get this ready. Here it is. Verse 19, one more time. And what is the exceeding greatness of his power to usward who believe? Remember, don't forget that. According to the working of his mighty power, not ours, which he wrought, not us, in Christ when he raised him from the dead. You know what this is? This is faith empowered. This is resurrection power that's been given to the believer. If they'll have it. Which he wrought in Christ when he raised him from the dead and set him at his own right hand in the heavenly places, far above all principality and power and might and dominion and every name that is named, not only in this world but also in the world to come, and hath put all things under his feet and gave him to be the head over all things to the church, which is his body, the fullness of him that filleth all in all. And that's us. God said, be holy for I am holy. God never said, be ye holy because you're holy. God said, be ye holy. You know why? Because you've got the Spirit of God that indwells you that will bring his holiness in your life. If you'll believe it. To usward who believe, it's time to let God get busy in our lives. It's high time that he glorify himself. It's high time that the church wake and serve the living God that redeemed them for his honor and glory. It's high time that we stop getting sidetracked with the trinkets of this life that are passing away. Tell me one thing in this earth that will mean a hill of beans to you in eternity. Tell me one thing that you'll say, well, that was worth it. We won't. In case you didn't remember it, in the Bible it tells us this earth is going to be burned with fire. There's a new one coming. Amen. But God wants us right now, if we'll have him. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for your word, the understanding it brings to our lives and our hearts and our minds. Lord, I pray that you would strengthen our faith. And Lord, that we would completely let go and allow you to have your will and your way in our life, that we would stop looking to ourselves and look to the infinite God that redeemed us by the blood of the Lamb, that has given to us all things that you might be glorified in and through our lives by your power and your strength in us. We ask, Lord, that you bless the rest of the service, for we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.